الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue reading in the ترجمة of الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى reading what الحافظ الذهبي he mentioned in his book سير علام النبلاء and he mentions now about البخاري and we remember the chapter he's titled here, Rahimahullah, Dhikru Rihlatihi wa Talabihi wa Tasanifihi, mentioning of his travels and his seeking of knowledge and likewise the works that he has authored. So far he has mentioned one work that al-Bukhari he has authored. Who remembers the name of that work? Al-Tariq al-Kabir. Al-Tariq al-Kabir. Al-Tariq al-Kabir. Al-Tariq means history. History, but what's being referred to here is the history of the narrators. So he's from the first of the scholars of hadith to collect a work mentioning the narrators and what is mentioned about them, whether they are reliable or not reliable, mentioning their names and their lineages and the lands that they traveled to and mentioning some brief events about them and whether they're reliable or not in narrating of hadith. And he mentioned a brief summarization in each tarjama, and he'll arrange them in order. It's a great book, and from the first of those books written in this manner, collected in this manner with regards to the narrators. So he mentioned that already. Likewise, now he's mentioning, so he says that al-Bukhari, he mentioned himself, rahimahullah, kuntu inda Ishaq ibn Rahuya. Kuntu inda Ishaq ibn Rahuya is from the great teachers of Bukhari. Likewise, he said, I was with him, Ishaq ibn Rahuya. He died in the year 238, takriban. He says, فَقَالَ بَعْضُ أَصْحَابِنَا. So some of the people they said, لَوْ جَمَعْتُمْ كِتَابًا مُخْتَصِرًا لِسُنَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَوَقَعَ ذَلِكَ فِي قَلْبِي فَأَخَذْتُ فِي جَمْعِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. He said, and at this time, some of the people, they suggested, we was in the gathering of Ishaq ibn Rahuya, and some of the people suggested, why don't you gather a summarized work of the Sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the words mentioned, a work of nothing but that which is authentic. And on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, so this fell into my heart, the desire to do this. And so I began gathering this book. And he referring to Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari. So here we have the suggestion to do good. Somebody made the suggestion, why don't you, somebody collect the narrations in this manner. And then he heard that good and ran with it, rahimahullah ta'ala, until he collected those narrations and became became the most reliable book of hadith, in the ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned about this book, and he says, مَا وَضَعْتُ فِي كِتَابِي الصَّحِيحِ حَدِيثًا إِلَّا اكْتَسَلْتُ قَبْرَ ذَلِكَ وَصَّلَيْتَ رَكَتَيْنِ وَصَّلَيْتُ رَكَتَيْنِ. He said, I did not put one narration in my book as sahih, Sahih al-Bukhari, except that I bathed and I prayed two rakah. Istikhara, seeking the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, his diligence and his devotion, to authoring this work, that he's authoring this work for the sake of Allah, and hoping for the aid and the help of Allah. And not one narration, he says, except before I put it there and made it from the book, and he considered it actually from this work, I bathed and I prayed to Raqqa. I bathed and I prayed to Raqqa. He said, Rahimahullah, ما أدخلت في هذا الكتاب إلا ما صح وتركت من الصحة كي لا يطول الكتاب كي لا يطول الكتاب. He said, Rahimahullah, that I have not put anything in this book except what is authentic. And I have left off many authentic narrations so that the book will not be long. And from the title of the book, Al-Jami' Sahih al-Mukhtasar, and it's a summarized collection of authentic narrations. And so this is a statement from Bukhari himself, Rahimahullah ta'ala, that he did not intend to gather in Sahih al-Bukhari all of the authentic narrations. Some people, they have come with this doubt, and they have said that if it's not in Bukhari or Muslim, then it's not authentic. but they did not attend, they did not intend themselves to narrate all of the hadith that are authentic, or to collect in this work all of the narrations that are authentic. Meaning he selected from them, and he left many that are not authentic, and he left many that are not authentic. Yani, likewise, Imam Muslim, he only selected some, and he left many. And so from thousands of authentic narrations, they selected these. They selected these. Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he has a benefit here about this. Yani Bukhari and likewise and Muslim, they're in Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmed, there's a nuskha. Yani a nuskha, a number of narrations from one chain. A number of narrations from one chain to Abi Huraira from the Haditha of Hammam ibn Munabbih, and this and the Musnad, there's a number of narrations, a number of them. I forget the number now. If we have to review that, but there's a number of them. They all have one chain. They all have one chain, and so all of them they are equally authentic. All of these narrations from Hammam ibn Munabbih on Abi Huraira, they are all authentic. Yani they're all authentic. They have the same chain. But Bukhari and Muslim, they took some of them, enough to others. They didn't narrate every one of those narrations in their books. And so this is a clear proof that they did not intend to take every authentic narration. Had they done that, they would have taken the other narrations from that same chain. We understand that? You understand that? So yani, this is a refutation of the some of those doubts they put yani, with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bukhari, he did not intend to collect all of the authentic narrations and put them in his book. And this is what he's clarifying here. ما أدخلت في هذا الكتاب إلا ما صح وتركت من الصحة كي لا يطول الكتاب. He said, I did not put anything in this book except that which is authentic. And I left off many authentic narrations so the book would not be long. So the book would not be long. And he mentioned likewise, he says, دخلت بغداد ثمان مرات, that I entered Baghdad eight times. في كل ذلك أجالس أحمد بن حنبل. And every time I would sit with Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And he would go there. He traveled to many lands. He's saying here to Baghdad eight times. To Baghdad eight times. And he traveling in those days either on feet or on a camel or on a horse or on a mule and the likes like this. And they're traveling in this manner. And he traveled to Egypt and he traveled to Hijaz and to many, many lands. Here to Baghdad eight times. Every time he went there, he sat with Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned about him, somebody was along with him, Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Bukhari. So from his land likewise, his name is Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Bukhari. قَالَ كُنْتُ مَعَ مُحَمَّدْ ibn إِسْمَعِيلِ بِمَنْزِلِهِ ذَاتَ لَيْلَى فَأَحْسَيْتُ عَلَيْهِ أَنُّهُ قَامَ وَأَسْرَجَ يَسْتَذْكِرُ أَشْيَاءَ يُعَلِّقُهَا فِي لَيْلَةٍ 18 مَرَّةً. It's mentioning here that Muhammad ibn Yusuf, he spent the night with Bukhari in his house. He spent the night with Bukhari in his house, and he said, I counted for him 18 times. 18 times he got up in the middle of the night. 18 times he got up in the middle of the night, and he lit the torch and the lantern, and he would review some knowledge, and he would take notes and write, and he would go back to sleep. And throughout the night, 18 times he wake up. He wake up, yani, and light the lantern and grab the book and write a benefit or in the likes like this and then lay down 18 times in one night. He mentions here another narration similar like this, that he was with him on a traveling and he did the same thing. Yani that he says either كنت معه في سفر يجمعنا بيت واحد إلا في الخيذ أحيانا. فكنت أراه يقوم في ليلة واحدة 15 مرة إلى 20 مرة في كل ذلك يأخذ الكداحة فيوري نارا ويسرج ثم يخرج أحاديث ويعلم عليها. And he said that even whenever we're traveling, whenever we would travel together, we would be in the same house almost always normally, and except for a few times. And I used to see him in one night that he would get up 15 to 20 times, lighting the candle and lighting the torch and the light or the lantern. And then he would grab his books and his narrations, and he would write on them, and he taking notes and the likes like this, or verifying and checking. And he this is called a nahma. He has a nahma, and he has a fervent desire, And he's sleeping, he'll wake up and he's thinking about knowledge and he can't stop thinking about it. He can't stop pondering over the affairs and thinking about the narrations and about the Messiah and the issues and the likes like that until it would disturb him. And a person will wake up in the middle of the night one time, two times, three times, mentioning here 15 to 20 times, yani reviewing the knowledge and reviewing the hadith. And because of such a strong desire and care and concern and love for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is dedication, yani. That's what they say in English, huh? Dedication. He was dedicated to this affair, to knowledge. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned that he had made the tarajim jami'ihi. Yani hawwala Muhammad ibn Ismail tarajim jami'ihi bayna qabri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min barihi wa kan yusalli likulli tarajima rakatain. It's mentioned likewise that he prepared the chapter titles of his book. He prepared the chapter titles of his book in the Rawda, in the area between the minbar and the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as a Rawda. And every time he prepared one, he would pray two rak'ah. Every time he would prepare one, before he put it there in his book, he would pray two rak'ah. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentions sanaftu as-sahih fi 16 sana. He said, I authored the work Sahih al-Bukhari in 16 years. And it wasn't overnight that he wrote this work. It wasn't overnight that he wrote this work, and he collected the narrations for this, and he's selecting and choosing, and likewise, arranging the chapters, so on and so forth, over 16 years. He said, "Ja'altuhu hujjatan fi ma bayni wa bayna Allahi ta'ala." I have made this book a proof between me and Allah, and Azza wa Jalla, and a proof for what he's upon from Deen. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, "Wa kunna inda Muhammad ibn Yusuf." Yani, some of the people of knowledge they mention, yani arfiyabi. بالشام وكنا نتنزه فعل الشباب في أقل الفصاد ونحوه وكان محمد بن إسماعيل معنا وكان لا يزاحمنا في شيء مما نحن فيه ويكب على العلم ويكب على العلم. It's mentioned that some of the narrators they were out together and they went on a munazzaha, and they went on an excursion for relaxation, for fun. And they went on a journey to go out to have fun and the likes like this, and they were eating a type of food and they were enjoying themselves and they're having fun and this time of relaxation. And he said, and Muhammad ibn Ismail, and al-Bukhari, he was along with us, but he did not participate with us in none of that. The whole time he was devoted to knowledge. So even when he's with his peers and his peers are relaxing and having fun and laughing and playing and the likes like this, he had no time for that. And his heart is not attached there. Rather, he was inspired to seek knowledge, and he was concerned and cared about knowledge. And this is, seen in his efforts in his life, and how much benefit he has brought to the ummah till this day because of his dedication and sincerity, and likewise his diligence with time, and he taking advantage of the time. It's very important for a believer to take advantage of his time, especially a student. Yani, but a Muslim in general, he takes advantage of his time. He did not waste his time. And his time is precious, and you cannot get it back. A believer, he will spend his time in the pleasure of Allah, and seeking the pleasure of Allah, and all of his aspects, even if he has to fulfill the rights of the dunya, and the rights of his family, and he has to get wealth and get property, he will turn that into an action of worship with a beautiful intention, and he will spend his life in the devotion of Allah Azza wa Jal. But here, especially any time in seeking knowledge, a believer, he will take advantage of his time, and he will learn, especially if he's young, especially if he has desire, especially if he's concerned, and especially if he's healthy, and he like this. But even if he's old, likewise, alhamdulillah, some people are inspired to learn whenever they're old, and this is a favor likewise from Allah Azza wa Jal. And many of the Sahaba, they learn whenever they're old. And from the elders. So in any case, however one may be, he'll benefit from his life, he'll benefit from his time, and he will not waste his time in that which is impermissible or in the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, he will busy himself with that which is beneficial and that will bring about benefit for him and his family and in this life and in the hereafter. Yani the author, he says, النجم بن الفضيل, he said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النوم. This man, he says, his name is النجم بن فضيل. الذهبي, he mentions that this man, he said, he saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's sleeping. كأنه يمشي ومحمد بن إسماعيل يمشي خلفه. He said, I seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a dream, and he was walking, and Bukhari, he's walking behind him. He said, وَوَضَعَ مُحَمَّد بن إسماعيل قَدَمَهُ فِي الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي رَفَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدَمَهُ. He said, I seen the Prophet in a dream, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was walking. And Bukhari is behind him, and every time the Prophet would take a step, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and move his foot, Bukhari would put his foot right in the place where the Prophet stepped. And he's following, meaning that he's seen in the dream that the Bukhari is following his footsteps precisely, meaning he was upon the sunnah. This was a dream that was seen. It's important to know that we do not rely upon dreams, and we do not take rulings from dreams, and we do not base judgments on dreams. But if there are when he sees a good dream, or a good dream is seen for him, this is a glad tidings, and it's hoped good for that person. But no one would rely upon that. When somebody said, I seen so-and-so in Jannah, he would not say so-and-so is in Jannah, for example. And no doubt if one seen a dream and somebody was telling him to do this type of worship or that type of worship or to recite this many times, no one would ever base a ruling on that. Never base a ruling on that. There's no rulings derived from dreams. But if there is a dream that's a good dream, inshallah, it's a glad tidings from Allah Azza wa Jal. Or if somebody sees a good dream for a person likewise, this is a good sign for him. But no one rely upon that. So we see these affairs and the people of knowledge, they mention the likes of these that they have seen the righteous in dreams before, and they are good dreams. So we say, inshallah, we hope good for the individual. Even somebody like Bukhari, we would never, rahimahullah, say that he's in Jannah, because we don't know. We don't know that speaking about Allah without knowledge. We hope he's in Jannah, and all we know about good is from him, rahimahullahu ta'ala wa radiyallahu anhu. But as for any being certain like this, then this is not from the way of the people of the Sunnah. He says, he was asked, somebody came to him whenever he was alone, and they said to him, هَلْ مِن دَوَاءٍ يَشْرَبُهُ الرَّجُلُ فَيَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ لِلْحِفْظِ. And somebody came to him and they said, is there any type of medication that a man he can drink so he can benefit for his memorization? And is there anything that he can take as a medication that will make his memory strong? Al-Bukhari, he says, لا أعلم. He said, I don't know about that. ثم أقبل علي. And then he came to me and he said, وقال لا أعلم شيئا أنفع للحفظ من نهمة الرجل ومداومة النظر. He said, I don't know anything more beneficial for the person's memorization than to have a fervent desire, to have strong desire to learn and to constantly look, and to repeat, to look often. And so somebody who wants to memorize the Quran, for example, he has to have strong desire to do that. And then also review a lot from looking. This is what he's mentioning, mudawamat an-nadhr. You need to always be busy and occupy with the knowledge until a person either he memorizes like he memorizes it by heart, or at least he knows it very well, like it's almost memorized, and he'll become very familiar with it. And so this is from the beneficial ways in seeking knowledge. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that لَمْ تُكُنْ كِتَابَتِي لِلْحَدِيثِ كَمَا كَتَبَ هَؤُلَاءِ. He said, the way that I used to write hadith is not the way they used to write hadith. He said, كنت إذا كتبت عن رجل سألته عن اسمه وكنيته ونسبته وحمله للحديث. He said, the way that I wrote narrations was not like the way they wrote narrations. He said, if I would write on a take knowledge from a man, I would ask him about his name, and I would ask him about his kunya, and I would ask him about his lineage and how he obtained knowledge, and the way that he carried the hadith and learned. He says, well, in kana rajulu fahiman, and this is if the person himself he understood. فَإِنَّمْ يَكُنْ سَأَلْتُهُ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ إِلَيَّ أَصْلَهُ وَنُسْخَتَهُ فَمَا الْآخَرُونَ لَا يُبَالُونَ مَا يَكْتُبُونَ وَكَيْفَ يَكْتُبُونَ. He said, and if this person was a person of knowledge, I'd ask him these affairs. And if not, he was just somebody who had written narrations, I'll tell him to bring me the book. Let me see your book so I can copy from that. And let me see the book that you have taken the narrations in so I can copy from that. They used to narrate by memorization and also by writing. Some people would gather between that. Some of them are strong in narration, and they used to narrate from memorization and from writing. Some of them would gather between that. And some of them, if he had a weak memorization, but he was precise in his writing, and he kept his book safe, then he would narrate from his book, and his narrations would be considered proper and good, or authentic, in this manner. So he's saying, either way, I'm going to check and verify. If he was reliable and he has knowledge, I would ask him directly. If not, I would take it from his book. He says, as for those other people, they didn't care what they write or how they wrote. And they would take knowledge from anybody and from any way. An indication that a person, whenever he takes knowledge properly, and not from every source, and not from everywhere, and not from anybody. And if a person wants to know the means to go astray, to take knowledge from the wrong source. To take knowledge from the wrong source. The people who go astray today, how did they go astray? They take knowledge from the wrong source. The Khawarij, how did they go astray? They took knowledge from the wrong source. The Sufiya, how did they go astray? What is the beginning point where they went wrong? They take knowledge from the wrong source. They have the understanding contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba. They got knowledge from the wrong source. Even in these days now, we have individuals that was raised upon Tawheed. And they're raised upon the Sunnah, and then they start taking knowledge from this doctor and that doctor, and now they have doubts about Tawheed. And now they think that calling on a grave is permissible and allowed. We have a billah. All because they sat with the wrong man. And they sat and they took the knowledge from the wrong source. And so this is something that's very dangerous. Very dangerous to take knowledge from the wrong source, especially whenever knowledge is available everywhere at the click of a button. At the click of a button, benefiting from the internet is good, but a person has to have knowledge how to benefit, to take from the proper sources in the internet. Yani, likewise, is required to take from the proper people, yani, directly, and likewise from the internet, yani, and from the books, yani, to take the knowledge from the proper sources, from the reliable sources, from the trustworthy sources, the well-known sources. And this is incumbent. And if not a person, he can easily go astray. The last narration we read, and we close before the author, he starts another chapter. He mentions that one of the Salaf, he says, Ra'aytu Aba Zur'a Kasabi Jalisan Bayna Yaday Muhammad Ibn Ismail Yas'aluhu Anil Al-Hadith. Yani Abu Zur'a Ubaidullah Ibn Abdul Karim Rahimahullah Ta'ala, from the great scholars of Hadith. He has got him and Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a. And they have the Aqidah Raziyain, a well-known Aqidah. And they're from the scholars of Hadith, and both of them are from the students of Al-Bukhari. And Abu Zur'a, he is from the most pious and righteous of the men and the narrators of Hadith. And his status and rank is amazing. But he's saying here that they saw him like a young boy sitting at the foot of Bukhari, like a little boy sitting at the foot of Bukhari, asking him about the narrations and asking him about the defects in the narrations, and he indicating the nobility of Bukhari, and the status that the fact that this great man, inshallah, tomorrow we'll read a brief portion of his biography, and there is an amazing affair with regards to the issue of Husna Khatima. We want to read about having a good ending. Read about the ending of Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala. After this, he mentions ذِكْرُ حِفْظِهِ وَسَعَيْتِ عِلْمِهِ وَذَكَائِهِ. The next topic that we discuss, inshallah, in this book is the mention of his memorization and his vast knowledge and intelligence. And there are also likewise amazing affairs about the memorization of al-Bukhari and how he was tested by the people of Baghdad. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.